Quest founder won't be asked to testify. Congressional investigators decided against asking Quest Communications founder Philip Anschutz to testify at a hearing Tuesday regarding revenue-boosting capacity swaps after concluding Anschutz was unaware of the deals. Anschutz, who has reaped $2 billion from Quest stock sales, was interviewed Friday by phone by four House Energy and Commerce Committee investigators. The panel also accepted Anschutz's explanation that his sale of more than $179 million of stock in spring 2001 was planned before Quest executives began worrying about revenue shortfalls. Lawmakers are investigating whether Quest and Global Crossing engaged in network capacity swaps to boost revenue. The telecoms are also being investigated by the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission. Quest phone bill, dated September 28, 2002. Service additions and changes. Item 1. Net change in monthly billing due to rate change from September 3, 2002 to September 28, 2002. $1.33. Even with racks gone, there will still be intelligent conversation on Radio Freak America. Do not worry, listeners. Tonight, the intelligent conversation will be provided by BIOS from digitalrights.org. What's up, BIOS?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, well, what's going on is Radio Freak America 32, which you are on, and I thank you very, very much for being on the show. We've got to get right to it. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, I want to read an email from Pack. He's got a great story. It's actually a very valuable lesson for all you listeners who want to partake in the social engineering. So, from Pack, listen to this. Friday, I didn't have any school. So when my friends were all learning hard, I decided to have a little fun. So after doing various things, I remember something I wanted to do for a long time. My old school ran a WinNT server, and being the secure network that they were, the admin passwords were things like pass, admin, purity. Purity? What the hell is that? And one was health, a default given to them by company XYZ. So I wanted to test to see if any of this stuff still worked, but their IP had changed 2 years ago, and I haven't gotten it since. So instead of actually going there, I decided to give them a call, which is what? Social engineering.
Exactly.
So now I knew some of the names to call as company XYZ, for example, so all the better. I call up and get their secretary. My plan was just to send them to a website that had their IP and have them read it to me. That sounds pretty good. That's a good idea. Well, the story was more intricate, but it was a simple idea. Okay, so everything was going good. She needs to hand me off to someone that has a computer. Then I get the assistant principal. I explain my story to her, and she pauses. She says, "You're with company XYZ? It doesn't exist anymore." Uh-oh. We talked for about 10 minutes with me trying to convince her to go to a website and that the company actually did exist, but she knew something was up and didn't know what. The phone call ended with me giving her a fake phone number. If only I had taken a minute to research company XYZ instead of going off the knowledge I already had of them. So the lesson is, listeners, do your homework. And then Pac says, just happy they won't get my number, Pac. Well, thank you, Pac, for that great story. That's actually very funny. Too bad Pac, you should have recorded that. That's the kind of stuff I'd like to listen to. Just straight up social, prank calls, whatever. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. I don't think it's funny, just piss people off, but actually, recording a phone call of social engineering somebody, that is interesting.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That's right. Do you do any social engineering, Bios?
I've had my shots at it.
That is a diplomatic no, and that's quite all right. Now, like I said, we've got lots to talk about this show. We've got this listener email. We've got a special guest, Bios. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about, actually important stuff to talk about. I've got a lot of dorky stuff to talk about, like war driving, the mandatory wireless. I've got some phone calls I want to make. Got some radio stuff I want to talk about. So, you know what? Let's get to the important stuff first. Save my personal fun stuff to the end, the technology. Now, Bios, you run www.digitalrights.org. Now, I've got to tell you that I've never done as much. I have never been so active as when I started to go to your site.
That
is true. I mean, you've got everything there. You not only have the stories, you've got the names, the phone numbers, what to do, how to be active, and I hope I'm making a difference.
Well, anything's better than nothing.
It's got to be. Now, this has got to be a lot of work for you. And I hope this isn't too personal of a question, but, what drives you? What's your motivation?
Well, personally, it's a lot of things. I mean, I don't enjoy being told what I can do with my technology, for one. And a big part of it is keeping things open for my son. I want him to be able to play around with computers and like everything that I did,
Wow, that's actually a deep, important reason. we rant, I'm sure you've heard our show, we rant, and you know what? Most of the time it's because it pisses us off, man.
Exactly.
All the crap they're doing just pisses me off. There's no logic, It's all about money, and then you actually have real reasons. Maybe that's why it's such a good site. Maybe that's why I'm so active from going to your site. Now, I know there's been a lot of issues, a lot of news stories regarding digital rights in the news lately. The first, I think this is the one you originally talked to me about, is Zoe Lofgren and her proposed bill. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Let me grab my sheet here.
Oh, sure. Because I know there's a lot, and I bet you got a stack of notes.
Yeah. Okay, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, she introduced Digital Choice and Freedom Act of 2002, DCFA. It's got a lot of supporters behind it, supported by the EFF, Larry Lessig, he's a law professor, the Computer and Communications Industry Association, just a ton of people standing behind this one.
Now, she's California, correct? Representative from California?
I believe so.
Okay. Now, I've read this, and I hope it's not true. I hope that this is just some empty promise, just some empty bill that she's proposing. But Of course, she proposed near the end of the session, and of course, it just gets put by the wayside until the next session, where hopefully it'll be taken back up, you know, strong with the same amount of support it has now. Do you think that'll happen? Do you think it's empty?
No, I don't think it's empty. She's got way too many changes in here to amend the DMCA.
Now these are now isn't Representative Rick? How do you say his last name?
I think it's Boucher.
Boucher, isn't he proposing amendments to the DMCA?
Yes, they both have bills out right now.
Okay, now which one is better for us? Which one is better for hackers? For hackers and freakers?
Well, it'd be great if both of them got passed. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Yeah, because Boucher's bill, he's got it would apply to like DECFS.
Mm-hmm.
They let me see. His bill provides that it is not a violation of the DMCA to circumvent a technological measure in connection with gaining access to or using a work if the circumvention does not result in infringement of copyright. So basically what they're saying is if you make something like DECFS where you can actually use it for a good purpose, then you're going to be able to use it.
Which is, what do you call it, like fair and reasonable use.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, like making a recording of a television show when you're not home.
Exactly.
You know, you got to be on Radio Freak America. Damn it, you know, I got to tape professional wrestling, you know? Okay, that's good. That's a very good start. Now, Zoe Lofgren goes farther, you said?
Yeah, she's got, let me read the notes here. These are from her website. It allows lawful consumers to make backup copies and display digital works on the devices of their choice. Protects lawful customers by prohibiting non-negotiable shrink wrap licenses, such as bad EULAs. Clarifies that lawful consumers can sell or give away their copies of digital works just like they can with traditional hard media. It also goes on to protect lawful customers by permitting them to bypass technical measures that impede their rights and expectations.
I do like that one. I like that a lot. And you called this the DCFA. What does that stand for again? I know, dude. A lot of acronyms. You know, this is like, it's like dealing with the military, all this digital rights stuff, man.
Yeah, it's the Digital Choice and Freedom Act.
Digital Choice and Freedom Act. And you said she has a website. Could you send me a link to put up on my website on oldschoolfreak.com?
Yeah, I can send you the link to that and to Boucher's bill.
Okay, good. I'd like to do that, put that on our news page. And, of course, we'll link to your site. So, you listeners, you can be more active. Because everybody needs to be active. And not just in the U.S. This is going to affect, you know, every nation with a technology that can be affected by these kind of laws. I mean, we're almost like the proving ground
exactly
for these crappy laws. Canada's going to get them, you know. What was that, Tariff 22? Australia, UK. I mean, this does not just affect the U.S. This will have all of these laws will have global implications.
What it seems to be is the movie companies and the record labels seem to have global reach.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's just the globe is one big audience.
Yeah, exactly.
They're huge, huge mega corporations. You know, there's billions of dollars in the RIAA and the MPAA, and the U.S. government wants to, well, and understandably so, they want to protect one of their, you know, better exports. But what they're doing is wrong. It is so wrong. Imposing upon me, telling me, just like you said earlier, you don't want people to tell you what to do with your technology, or you don't want people telling your son what he can do with his technology in the future. You know, you don't want Tales from the After Now happening to your son. So, like you said, that's why digitalrights.org is there. Now, there's many other stories. There's another one that I liked personally. The music companies were hit with a big fine. You know, they had to settle a price fixing suit Did you have anything to say about that?
I thought that was hilarious.
That was, you know what, that was quite humorous.
The other thing about Boucher's bill.
Please.
Is the, it forces the record companies to label the copy-protected CDs. So you know when you go into your favorite music store and go to pick up the latest Linkin Park CD, it says right on there in clear printed text that this is a copy-protected CD.
Now, are there CDs available now that are not marked, that are, you know, that do include copyright protection technology, but are not marked?
Oh, yeah.
Like what? I'm sure it's a bunch of crap. I'm sure the music is crap.
But yeah, I'm not sure exactly which albums it's on, but I'm almost positive that they've got it on a lot of CDs that they're not telling you about.
Boy, even if it is crappy, I will go buy one just to try out this technology. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure they're out there. I don't know what they are. Listeners, if you could let us know. You know what? If we could, I would love to have a list, and it's probably better on digitalrights.org, a list of albums that are copyright protected.
Yeah, that would be great.
And put it up on the site. So, okay. We talked about Zoe Lofgren. We talked about... how do you say his name?
I think it's
Boucher? Okay.
Boucher, Boucher, one of them.
Boucher, that's it. We talked about the music companies getting slammed with a multi-million-dollar suit, you know, settling for multiple millions of dollars for price fixing. I mean, who knows? CDs, I know, are dirt cheap to make. And to still be, what? They're not quite $20. Come on, give them a break. They're, what, 16 with tax?
They're close.
Yeah, so, yeah, damn close to $20.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is, you know, for what I know they don't cost much to make.
You know, the poor artists, they ain't getting any of it.
Probably not. Yeah, I read something not too long ago. A band sold a quarter of a million copies and owed the company $14,000.
That was insane.
That's so wrong. That is so wrong. You know, alright, straight up, I do not collect MP3s. I buy all of my CDs. I do sample music. I listen to internet radio, and you listeners have heard all this before. I listen to the internet radio stations and find out what I like. Hey, I like this. I'll write it down. You know, I sample MP3s occasionally, but I mostly buy the CDs that I like, and I enjoy them. And I bet you most of the listeners, most people who probably create works themselves, do the same thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with collecting MP3s. Do whatever you want. I mean, that's fine. But to charge so much for this music, to shove it down your throat using Clear Channel.
Yeah, really.
And to charge so much money, it's just they're asking for it. They're getting what they're asking for.
Well, and the other bad part is 90% of the pop stuff they're sending out is so stamped and assembly line put together music, you know.
Yeah.
Worthless.
Yeah, and then they expect us not to, you know, create some technology so we can enjoy the stuff we really like. I mean, you know, it's not easy. I cannot go to a store in my town and buy a CD of the band I like. I have to use the internet and purchase it that way using a credit card. Well, what if I don't have a credit card, but I do have access to a peer-to-peer network? Well, you know what? I'm going to do what I have to do to get the music I like.
Yeah.
If you didn't, just, like you said, push all this stamped out crap to us, it wouldn't happen. There's something else. Well, what was it? Let's see. RIAA versus Verizon. Now, if I'm correct, that verdict has not come down.
Nope.
It has not. Okay, so everybody's waiting. I'm sure you are waiting with bated breath to see what happens.
Yeah, this is a big case here.
How big? Tell us.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of privacy issues with this one. And for those of you that don't know, back in July, the IRAA had a subpoena sent to Verizon to reveal the name of a customer illegally trading hundreds of songs. And the Verizon said privacy concerns and potential legal liability, they are refusing to comply with the subpoena.
Which is phenomenal.
I was really impressed.
Yeah, you know. Okay, now, pardon the conspiracy theorist in me, but you don't think there's any, you know, underlying reason that Verizon is protecting? You think they're honestly protecting their users? Do you think maybe there's something in the, I don't know, in their privacy statement that says they can't do that? I mean, are they sticking to that? Or are they just sticking up for their customers? Do you think there's any underlying reasons why they're doing that?
Well, one thing I'd like to believe they're sticking up for their customers, but I know that they don't want to have to monitor their customers. That was a big thing.
Ooh, good point. Very good point. That would be prohibitively expensive to monitor all their customers.
Yeah, and I'll read you a quote here from Sarah. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, but she's a VP at Verizon. And it says, Verizon looked carefully at the subpoena. It created a very difficult policy issue for us. We understand that the IRAA has a problem and needs this information. At the same time, we have an equally legitimate concern that they comply with the proper legal process. We believe this is a very important case of first impression and should not be rushed.
Very wise words. Yeah, this is going to set precedence. And let's hope it's settled for the better.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you accuse somebody of stealing something, what do you do? I mean, don't you go to the police first? I mean, you can't just go after them.
Right. Having evidence would be nice.
Yeah, there has to be some due process in there.
Right. I'm wondering, how do they find out that this user was sharing all these files? They saw all these quoted legal files. Okay, they could have downloaded them and saw, you know, they could have used the peer-to-peer network, downloaded the files and say, okay, we got these files from this IP address.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I guess answer my own question. That's how they did
it. Or they could have set up their own little honeypot, if you will, and put up fake file names and just watch the IPs that were downloading those files.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Now, the law that allows them to hack peer-to-peer networks, and this is Berman's bill, as I like to call it, has not been decided upon. Am I correct?
You're correct on that.
Next session, I'm assuming. This has great implications as well. All of these do, which is scary. Allowing companies, giving companies like that, large corporations, I mean, this is a collection of corporations, the RAA, the ability to hack.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's...
Oh, and Verizon had some issues with the Berman bill as well.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, this was from the lady I mentioned earlier. She was asked about what their position was on the Berman bill.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "We oppose the Berman bill. It is very troubling in that it essentially permits one particular segment of the U.S. industry to engage in vigilantism on the Internet. So, for example, the content community could engage in a denial-of-service attack as long as they have a reasonable belief that they were defending their copyright."
Wow, man. Props to Verizon.
Yeah.
That's very, very big of them. Yeah, it is vigilantism. I mean... I know the government gets to do stuff that we don't get to do, and yeah, that's fine for some things, but this is just, that would be absurd.
Oh, I mean, and by the way, I think Boucher's bill has a lot more support than Bofkin's.
It does.
Here's a small list of the heavy hitters behind it.
Please.
Intel's on this one, Philips Electronics, Verizon, Sun Microsystems, Gateway Computers, Digital Future Coalition, Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Home Rights Recording Coalition, and there was a lot more on that list, too.
Do you think there's more support because it's a little more mild than Lofgren's bill?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. But still, those are some big-time heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Big-time. Intel, that's surprising. Now, what's your view on DRM, Digital Rights Management, like Palladium?
Yeah, Palladium scares me, okay? I think that Windows XP will be the last version of Windows I ever use.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't like that issue, and I don't like the fact that Intel and AMD signed up so quickly on it.
So you use XP. Isn't XP, you think XP is kind of like, you know, they're kind of starting to slide it in with the, what is it, the active registration and I've never used it. Isn't it, is it invasive already?
Oh, it is. It's insane. It, by default, they have a remote assistance turned on where, like, they can just, like, message you on your computer, I guess, and say, hey, do you want some help with something?
Lovely. And you say, F no. Get out of my box.
I mean, and it was so buggy, too. It's insane. They have, like, every time a program crashes, it gives you this message, would you like to send this data to Microsoft? And it's like, what chunk of data is getting sent from my computer to Microsoft?
Very good point. Very good point.
And the other thing was, I heard they rolled it into Service Pack 1 and didn't tell anybody, but that feature accidentally deleted directories on some people's computers.
Lovely.
It would just delete the whole directory.
Quote, feature.
Yeah, bug, more like it.
That is funny. Did you get that on a new box, by the way? Did you buy a new box and it came with XP?
No, I didn't get that on the new box.
Oh, really? Now, well, what's your, what is your, you know, I want to know about BIOS. What drives BIOS? And you got a great website, by the way. As soon as you came up, man, I signed up. I've been pimping it as much as I can to people. And like I said, it is a great site, and I've done more because of your site.
I appreciate it. I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, we sometimes, maybe we rant sometimes a little too much, and you know, like I said, Rax is the intelligent conversation, and I just, you know, blather incoherently. But, I try to do some good. So really, what's your favorite operating system?
Linux.
It is.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's so much better than Windows. I mean, right now, I have to use Windows due to my income is supported by AutoCAD, and that the program only runs on Windows.
Right.
That kind of sucks.
Right, yeah. It's what I like to call the killer apps, and not killer in a good way.
Yeah.
Killer in a bad way, yeah. And your favorite distro?
I have to say Mandrake. I tried Red Hat a while back, and it was a little more geared towards servers, I thought, and I wanted something that I could use on the desktop, so I started using Mandrake, and everything's pretty easy. The wizards are nice, but I'm really getting into the command line. I like doing stuff in the command line.
Oh, I bet. And it looks good, too. I've seen Mandrake. It does look good.
Yeah, and, the newest distro is really awesome.
9?
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh, you've used it?
Oh, yeah, I've got 9.
No kidding. Cool.
Yeah, I've got 9 on my desktop and my laptop, and then I've got 8.2 running on my server.
Okay, now we're going to... Now, hang on to this stuff. Don't forget all this stuff. We're going to talk about technology a little bit. Okay, now, what's your sign? No, I'm just kidding. let's see. What the hell was I going to ask you? Distro. Oh, do you use any peer-to-peer file sharing technologies?
Yes, I do.
What do you use?
I use BearShare.
BearShare on, is that Linux?
Actually, I haven't been using it on Linux. I've been using it on my Windows machine.
You have. Now, what kind of things do you share, and why do you share
them? I produce, anime music videos.
Uh-huh.
Take an anime and take a cool song and splice them together. Comes out pretty nice, and I share them on there with a couple other people. And, just all sorts of things.
Yeah, so you basically create original works of art, right? You know, sometimes borrowing, but, you know, come on. You're not selling it for a profit, and you're sharing what you create on this peer-to-peer network.
Exactly. Okay. It's not breaking anybody's bank, you know?
No shit. If anything, now I've seen some anime music videos, and they freaking rock. Like, I saw one, it was, what was it? It was Evangelion.
Yeah.
And I think it was Rammstein.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And that rock ass, that was so cool. I mean, I could see where people would get into that and would want to share that, you know, that art.
Yeah, and it's really big, too. I was down at Otakon this year.
Yeah.
And, man, the video room was just packed.
Really? Just for those?
Oh, it was insane.
Dude, you missed out. You ever heard the older shows of Mary Chan?
Yeah, I know. I heard the one where she was going down there.
Yeah.
But I think I heard that show after. It was after the Otacon was over.
Damn, you guys should have hooked up. I mean, you guys just would have been, you would have been so happy together. A couple of anime geeks at Decepticon, man. It was so cool. I'm big in anime, so don't get me wrong. Now, so you share these works of art, you know, created, you know, with other borrowed art, right? Other borrowed works. If anything, you are creating more demand for said works, like Evangelion, like Rammstein. I saw that video. That was awesome. The music was great. I don't own any Rammstein CDs.
Yeah, I know. It really, it opens the door, really. I mean,
yeah. So I might see that video and I get inspired and like gives me goosebumps. I go, that kicks ass. I'm going to go out and buy a Rammstein CD.
Exactly.
You know? There are great, great positives for peer-to-peer file sharing. They need to figure that out. They need to realize that, you know, they need to come up with a, you know, they need to think outside the box to use a horrible cliche and come up with a new business model. They're going to go under.
I think a larger issue is they don't know how to handle the technology is what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. They need to adapt.
Adapt or die.
That's, oh my, very, very profound. By the way, my favorite anime right now is Die Guard.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude. I just love big robots. Anything big robots rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, especially I like Gundam a lot. My favorite's Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, very good. Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, dude, the movie rocks. And by the way, listeners, you don't have to see the series to watch and enjoy the movie. It's very good.
Cowboy Bebop just rocks.
It does.
Just do it.
Yeah. Spike.
Yeah.
Okay, now, do you have anything else? Do you have any more actual, important, intelligent conversation? Because if not, man, I'm going to take over, right? And the show's going to take a nosedive into you know, my twisted world of technology.
I think that's about it.
Well, that's very good stuff. And I want to reiterate to the listeners, go to digitalrights.org. Pardon me, www.digitalrights.org. Sign up, become a user, submit. And check out, and there's links, like I said, there's names, there's addresses, there's phone numbers. Do something, because I guarantee you it will affect you if it hasn't affected you already.
Yeah, and I'd like to put something more to that. I'd like for users to submit news when they find it, because I have a hard time catching all the news, and I notice I see it on other news sites before I can get it. And if anybody sees something, you can go there. You can sign up and you can submit the whole article, and as soon as I log in and check it, I'll post it.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, so not only are you doing something, you're helping the community, you know, you can be more active, but the site, you know, you are, how do I say this? You know, you become a part of the site, you know, the site becomes, you know, yours, in a way. Gives you ownership.
Yeah.
That's always, always positive, because, you know, BIOS needs your help. Everybody needs to help everybody else with these issues.
Yeah, the more awareness we can create, the better.
That's right. We're all going to get screwed if it doesn't happen. By the way, I was pointing my finger and shaking my fist. I hope you listeners could tell that from my intonation. Okay, now. I'm going to crack my knuckles here. Now. Talk some technology. No, I think I kept the ranting down. Do you think, BIOS? I mean,
wasn't too bad. You
all right,
thank you. Too much.
That's right. Thank you very much. Right, ranting levels down. Technology level. That's right. Technology level up. Good times. Good times. So I want to talk about something I know you want to start doing, and that's a little war driving, messing around with some wireless. Now you have not messed with wireless.
No, not yet.
Okay, but you plan to.
Oh yeah. Real
okay.
Soon.
Well. I've done a little messing around myself, you know. Let me know. I'll help you out now. If you're getting started into wireless, BIOS and listeners, this is for everybody. You check the ads. I know you're not big consumers, but go ahead and choke it down and check your, you know, the ads in your what, your Sunday paper, you know, wherever they stick them in the week, and check all the office superstores and your electronic superstores. And look for deals on wireless NICs. Now, I'm holding one in my hand, a Belkin, what's the model number? Belkin model F5D6020. This is an 802.11b card, PCMCIA card. And I got this at a large computer superstore, quote superstore, they don't know shit about computers, for $40 after rebate. Now, that's a very, very affordable card. So, And I'm not pimping this store, I'm not pimping this kind of card. I'm just saying, if you want to get into it, you know, save your jack, you know, go to eBay, whatever. But you can get them brand new, really cheap at stores. Just check it out, watch for those good rebates. Now, there's something I want to talk about specifically in war driving, and that's what I like to call ghetto driving. Yes, that's right, ghetto driving. Now, it's basically war driving, but let's say you've got an adapter that's not supported by the big war driving programs, NetStumbler, Kismet, Wellenrider, and all you've got is that the client app that comes with it. Well, you know what? You can war drive with that app. Of course, some NICs are better than others, but, you know, throw that NIC in your laptop and start driving around and just use that client app. It'll probably just register system strength, and then when you get an IP with a strong enough, pardon me, an AP with an access point with a strong enough signal strength, you'll get the SSID listed, probably the channel, you know, probably not much else. That's what I like to call ghetto driving. Now, I've been doing some ghetto driving lately. I just received, where is it? Here, hold on. La la, digging through crap. Aha! Here it is. A Cisco PCM 352 802.11b card. This was it was a little pricey. You know, I saved up my jack, threw it down, and got the card. This is the Cisco card with the integrated antenna. They call it the diversity antenna. And Draghorn was right. The radio in this thing kicks ass. I pick up shit a mile away. I mean, well, maybe not literally. Yeah, sometimes, maybe. I don't know. It is just phenomenal. If you compare this radio to others, you'll see what I mean. Now, I'm ghetto driving with this card in Linux, Red Hat 7.3, and I'm ghetto driving because I can't get Kismet running. Okay, I admit it, fine. I have yet to get Kismet to run. That's okay, I'm not giving up. So, what do I do? Cisco includes their own client app, and it's actually a really good one, one of the better client apps that I've used, called ACU. And you run ACU, right, you know, dots, you go to the utilities folder, /ACU, and it runs, ampersand run in the background, and it runs. And it'll pick up AP. You don't have to boot up next to an AP, and you can start driving, and it'll pick up APs, and it'll drop them and pick up others, just like any good client app. When you find a good AP, go ahead and use a program called AP Hopper. I believe it's on SourceForge. Just go to SourceForge and search for AP Hopper. And the executable is actually called Hopper. So you find your AP and you park and you run AP Hopper. And it works really well. If you can get an IP, it'll get you on there. You could also just go to etc, NFD, PCMCIA, restart and get on. But this works just as well. When it works, you'll get little numbers, like I guess it's like a little signal strength meter, and you're on. You can control C out of it, or you know, you control C out of it, and then you're on that AP. That's what I like to call ghetto driving. And you know what? And Rax, I talked to Rax. I told him what I was doing. He said, hey, that's war driving. And you know, he's right. It's just not fancy. You're not getting the logging. You know, you're not getting all the fancy stuff. You're not getting the GPS. But he's right, it still is war driving, but I like to make up my own names, and I like to call it ghetto driving. So, BIOS, man, it is a blast. I don't know if you live in a big metropolitan area.
And I live in one of the small hick towns.
Oh, no, dude.
I'm close. I can take a ride down to D.C., and I'm sure I'll pick up some stuff down there.
There you go. You never know, you might be surprised. Somebody might have an AP in your town.
True.
I was surprised. That you know, and I live in a good sized city. I was surprised, and I'm going to compare this to another city I've been in, that there weren't many in the one I'm in now, the one I live in, and it's larger. And I was at this other city. I guess there must be more high tech industry or something, because there was lots of APs everywhere I went. I would get an AP. So even if you live in a smaller town, do not be discouraged. Go out, you know, get a wireless card, mess with it. It doesn't matter if it's Windows, you know. If you do it in Linux, all the better. Mess with wireless as much as you can. It is so much fun. 802.11a is right around the corner. There's going to be a lot of changes, and, you know, the sooner you mess with it, the better, you know, and the more fun you're going to have. What are you running on your laptop, BIOS?
I'm running 9, Mandrake.
Okay, and I bet you anything, Mandrake 9 includes drivers for the most popular chipsets, which are Hermes, Prism 2, Cisco. I can almost guarantee that it has all the modules needed.
Oh, yeah, I had no problem setting up my the NIC card I have for it.
Really? Yeah, see, and the same will be true for any 802.11b card. I can't wait to get it, man. It's a lot of fun. Now, Rax bought a card that probably would not be supported, a wireless card that probably would not be supported in modern Linux distros.
Really?
Yeah, pretty fun. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Well, you know why? He bought a Microsoft Wi-Fi card, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable. He wanted to mess with it, and I'm glad he did, because he imparted some great knowledge upon us, and hence the listeners. I think we discussed Microsoft bringing out their networking technology on a previous show. I actually saw some of it at one of these big stores. Kind of scary. The boxes are all white with green and gray. It's creepy almost. And he went, he just wanted, like I said, he wanted to mess with it, so he went and got a Microsoft Wi-Fi card. And we also talk about a distro, great distro called Nopix a lot. We love it so much. Guess what? That Wi-Fi card, that Microsoft Wi-Fi card, did not work in Nopix. Unbelievable. I can't believe it. It did not work in Nopix. Now, and this is all theorizing from Rax. Actually, he did come to some conclusions. He thought, well, they probably... No, here's what I thought. I thought, well, they're probably not using... You know, they're using, like, a proprietary chipset. They're using some new, not popular, unused chipset. And Rack said, no, they're probably using a popular chipset, but they changed just a little something so it doesn't work with anything but their own stuff. And I think he was right, because he found out it does not use a Hermes or a Prism 2 chipset. It uses a Prism chipset, not a Prism 2. Rack said it uses a Prism chipset. Now, let me see. I think I'm reading notes here. He does say it works with NetStumbler. It makes me curious. I don't know if the Prism chipset works with NetStumbler out of the box. I don't remember. I don't remember which does. I know Lucent does. But it does use a Prism chipset. So, not working in Nopix. Nopix includes all the modern, the Aero drivers, the what does it include? I think the WVLAN drivers, it includes all the drivers for the major chipsets, but the Microsoft card did not work. So, if anybody, I cannot wait, and I know it's going to happen, somebody's going to write a driver to get all the Microsoft stuff running in Linux, and it's going to stick it right back to them. I think that's why they did it. They don't want people to use it with Linux. They only wanted to work with Windows.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Okay, there we go. And that's, why is that? Is it to perpetuate their market share, I guess?
They've got some major problems with Linux coming up.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a study out not too long ago, and Linux already has more desktop, more of the share of the desktop market than Macs do.
Really? Now, see, I like Macs. I mean, I hope Mac continues to propagate, but guess what? What are Macs?
Graphics tools.
That's true, but they're also, what, the mock kernel. It's like BSD with a nice face on it, and it's awesome. That's great. I'm glad Linux is gaining all that, all that headway. It's almost as though Macs and Linux now are a force against Microsoft, and let's hope something changes. You know what really needs to happen is the large corporations, they need to adopt Linux. They need to see how much money they could save. They need to, they need to, quit the crack habit, get off the heroin and hop onto Linux, save a lot of money and be more secure, stable, and all those other things.
Yeah, I read a story today where they did a study, and I think the cost of deploying Linux on a corporate level, I'm not sure what the average corporate level is, but it was like $74,000.
Right.
And Microsoft was like $190,000.
Oh, my God. That is huge.
That's not the worst. Solaris was like $500 and some thousand.
Yeah, they're dead, man. I hate to say it. That's why they're offering Linux now. Sun is like, okay, Linux.
And the new licensing agreement, nobody likes that.
Really? What, how restrictive is it?
Well, basically, they make you agree to let them enter your computer at any time and update your security and stuff. So basically, ooh, they're getting root rights to your computer at any time they feel the need.
Yeah, that's a big no.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's a ton of money. Root my box, please. No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
Yeah, Linux, you know, it's almost as if not people won't have to see the light, you know, see how great Linux is. All the other companies will shoot themselves in the foot, and people will just naturally gravitate to, well, what's best.
Exactly.
I want to make some phone calls, but I'm kind of scared. I don't know. Did you listen to last week's show?
I haven't had the chance yet.
Okay, you're a busy man, I know. There were some problems with my phone in last week's show. It ended up being really funny. You know, I think it's hilarious because for some reason, when I'm three-waying, I hit my flash and it just drops everything. My phone just dies. It croaks. You know, like a Yugo. Oh, where's my notebook? I know I brought it in. I'm looking for my freak notebook. All right, now do you have a notebook? Almost everybody I've talked to has one.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a notebook.
All right, right on, man. All right, hold on, I'm throwing shit around here. Ah, okay. All right, here it is. All right, I knew I brought it in. Always notebook, beige box, tone dollar. Always. Okay. I want to make a couple of phone calls. You ever do any freaking?
A little bit.
Do you? Right on. You ever use that phone card that I put up on the site?
No, like I said, I haven't had the chance to do much lately.
Just busting ass, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a family, too. A family and a life.
Put some time constraints on you.
Mm. I bet. But it brings great joys to your life, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, I want to check on the phone card. I want to see how many minutes we have left. Of course, there was damn near 500 minutes when I gave the number out, so we're going to call it now. I hope. Now, okay, here's the plan. If we get dropped, we're going to hop back. We're on the HackerMind con line, by the way. So shouts to HackerMind. So if I drop you, I'm not going to stop recording. We'll just I'll just hop back on the con line. All right.
Cool.
All right, man. So hang on 1 second when flash and dial them up. Oh 604. Please work. It worked. Yes, you're there. All right. It should be ringing.
Welcome to MCI for English. Press 1.
To enter a private one-on-one consultation, you need to know the other person.
Whoa, that is cool!
If you're tired of waiting, press 0. Punch in the other caller's code now.
All right, well, let's see what we can do here.
Your while in a group conference, you can touch 0 to exit. Touch 1 to enter a private one-on-one consultation. Press 2 or C to get your caller code. Press 4. While in a group conference, you can touch 0 to exit. Touch 1 to enter a private.
I'm going
to
call the con line. Now we got the con line and the calling card on the same line, three-way, right now. So I'm going to call the con line. This is really confusing and probably really bad radio. Hold on.
You have 339 minutes for this call.
339 minutes. All right, hold on. I'm going to flash them out. All right, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that was that was unexpected yet enjoyable. That was a trip. Okay, we got like 300 minutes, 330-something minutes, so that's good. Somebody's using the card, and I'm glad. Hopefully they're having fun with it. That's about that's over 100 minutes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Dude, that was pretty cool. Now, what happened? Hold on, I'm going to try this again.
To enter a private one-on-one consultation, you need to know the other person's caller code. If you tire of waiting, press 0. Punch in the other caller's code now.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pound.
While in a group conference, you can touch...
Okay, I touched 0, got out of it. Did you know that?
What's that?
That you can... Hold on, I turn you up. That you could press 1 and get and enter some code and get a private one-on-one consultation?
Yeah, I did hear that.
So have you done that before?
No, I haven't done it before.
Okay. Now, do you frequent the con line? And if I recall correctly, people used to regularly hop on the con, like after HackerMind or on weekend nights. Do you do that anymore, or are you just too damn busy?
Mainly, I'm too damn busy. I'm trying to catch up on sleep.
Oh, yeah? So, oh, no kidding? Oh, well, dude, then I really appreciate you doing the show, especially this late, you being in the Eastern time zone and all.
Oh, that's cool, man. I enjoy doing it.
Really? Well, I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. And like I said, we need an intelligent conversation, and you definitely brought it. Now I want to try a number that was given to me by... Oh, man, where is it? God, I'm losing everything tonight. Given to me by Zapperlink. And Zapperlink does some cool stuff. Oh, dude, I fully lost the number.
Oh, no.
He gave me this... Wait, hold on. Maybe I wrote it down. Oh, it's on my show notes. I feel pretty dumb. Now, I want to give a shout to Zapperlink. We are going to... Of course, he has his own operating system written in Assembler on SourceForge. It's called Centania.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a great website, Moomoo Security. And we're going to link that. We're going to put all of... We're going to have a Zapperlink Fiesta on oldschoolfreak.com. So check that out shortly. He's got some great stuff. Mm. Did you like that Zapperlink Fiesta?
I like it.
Okay. All right. We're going to call this number. It's he said it's called Tech Card. I haven't called it. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if he knew what it was either, but he said something about a 16-digit PIN. I'm not sure. But here's the number. It's 800-326- 1144, and I'm going to flash. We're going to give that a call, all right? All right, it worked again. Very nice.
Welcome to the Check Card Activation Service.
Oh, Check Card.
Press 1. To change your personal identification number, press 2. To repeat these options, press 9. To speak to a personal service representative, press 0. To end this call, press the pound sign, then hang up.
I want to talk to somebody.
Well,
I want to group call. Oh, man, you bastard, get off. Okay. I got rid of him. I hit 0 again, got rid of him, and hopefully we're getting a... whatever.
Assurance, your call may be recorded.
Well, I hope so.
Should be fun.
Yeah. What if they're open?
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. How may I help you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I could barely hear you. I guess my phone's having some difficulties this evening. I was wondering first, how do I go about activating my check card?
Okay, we can help you with that here. What is your check card number?
Okay, now there's a bunch of numbers on it. Which number do you want?
The entire number should be like 4828.
4828. Now, by the way, does that mean the bank... Like 4828 means, and you're with what bank are you with?
This is First Union National Bank.
Okay, so the 4828 means First Union National Bank. Is that correct?
That is our starter numbers on our debit cards. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me get my card here. Oh man, I just had it. I don't know where it is. How do I, now, can I do it automated, or do I need to talk to somebody later when I find my card?
Put it automated as well.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to waste your time. I don't know where it is. I had it right here. I'll call back and try the automated method.
Hey, that's fine, but there's someone here 24 hours if you need us.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
Well, that's great. I'm glad I signed up with First Union. Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, ma'am, are you still there? Good. Hey, dude, that was... Okay, thank you, Zapper. That is actually a very fun number. That was the check card activation number for First... Was it First Union National Bank?
Yeah.
First Union National Bank, who I've never heard of before. And apparently, their identifying digits are 4828. So if anybody has that card, check it out. You'll see.
Actually, I think that bank's on the East Coast.
Oh, really?
I think I've heard of them before. I think we might even have one in town.
No kidding. Dude, go mess with them. Go get some more numbers. They are a lot of... She was very nice, by the way. Sorry, I'm taking a drink of my, now get this, caffeine-free Diet Coke. That's right.
Oh, come on now.
I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to be healthy. That's so scary. Okay, now I've got more sick technology. Wait a minute. I'm being rude. Bios, you got any straight up fun stuff you want to talk about?
Not much. I want to pimp Stank Dog's website for a minute.
Yeah, do it.
Everybody should go over there and check that out. It's a real cool place. You can get together and work with other hackers on some projects he's got going on over there. And just basically shouts to Stank Dog.
Yeah, definitely. Big shouts to Stank Dog. We cannot pimp his site enough. What I like about it, right now, you know, it's building up, and the forums are there, and they're building up big time. And like you said, you can work with other hackers on projects. That's what that site is about. It's about technology. It's about learning from others. You know, you're not, if you think you're going to ask a stupid question, well, you know what, it's not. You're asking a question. People may say, hey, well, maybe you need some more research or something, but that's what they're going to say. They're going to be mature about it. It's got the best, how do I say it? Oh, God, I hate to say this, but it's got the best vibes. You know, it's got the best feel. It's a great place to go and learn. And like I said, it's just building up. He's going to have articles. He's going to have members pages for the DDP. It's going to be a great place to go. It's going to be a central location to learn and work on projects.
Yeah, I really like the stance he's taken on I hate to say newbies, but because they tend to get flamed a lot. But you know, he doesn't approve of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, much respect to Stank Dog. Okay, very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Nothing else? No other fun technology? What? Come on now. I know you've messed with something.
Oh, yeah. Setting up my server.
Uh-huh.
Setting up my server was a blast.
Now, what is this?
It's an old Packard Bell.
Oh, my... What?
Yeah, I actually bought a guy lunch to get this thing.
Oh, my God.
He was going to use it for his kids, and he was trying to put, like, Windows 95 on it, but he couldn't get it to work. And, I offered him lunch for it, and he said that was cool. So I brought it home, and it's a Pentium 1 at 75 megahertz.
Dude, hot rod.
Oh, it's a big doorstop.
He got a good deal, by the way.
Yeah.
So, now, what are you running on it?
It's running Mandrake Linux 8.2. I was lucky. It had a PCI slot in it, so I stuck two NIC cards in it, and I've got it set up as a router and... my web server.
Very nice. Very nice. And is it stable?
Oh, yeah. It's been up for... Shoot, I guess I've had it up for 4 or 5 days now. No problems.
So, listeners, a testament to Linux stability. If you can get a Packard Bell to stay up for, what, 4 or 5 days and no problems? That's beautiful. That's beauty.
It came with 16 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to find somebody who had... who was selling the old SIM-style RAM, and I got a 128 for it, and now it's just flying.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I mean, I had a couple people on there tonight, and it's no load at all.
That's great. Now, you're running X?
No.
No X. Very nice. And you're using Apache, I'm assuming?
Yep, Apache.
One or two?
One.
Okay. Boy, everybody's running one. I guess that's where all the mods are for, right?
Yeah, it seems there's been... slow adoption for Apache 2.
Yeah, big time. I'm actually, I run a little local server on my own box. Oh, goddamn phone. It's my ring again. Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Who's your provider?
What's that?
Who's your provider?
Let me think. It was it's one of the pay-per-use cards. You pay for minutes.
Oh, very nice. That's, it's actually, you have a little, anonymity if you pay cash too.
Yeah, and it's one of the old analog ones, and I was playing with it. The weird thing was I was dialing like what is it called, the ANI numbers to see what number you're calling from,
right?
And I would get a completely different number than my cell phone number.
Really? Could you? Oh man, too bad we couldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't have it with me. That's the problem.
Oh, that sucks. I love messing with phones, man. Okay, to be honest, straight up, I want you to level with me, Bios. Oh man, I can't even ask without laughing. Oh wait, I got a message. Who cares? Okay, what do you think about the phone calls on the show?
They're great.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, you do a little freaking, though, so you may be a little biased.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right, good. So, our listeners don't like the phone calls. Tough.
They're fun.
Now, another thing that is fun, immensely fun, and we've had some great guests recently talking about this, and that's radio. That's RF. Of course, the one guest I'm talking about in particular was Wintermute, and we did IRLP. We're hopefully going to have more on that later.
That was great, by the way.
Wasn't that awesome?
That was just so awesome, the way you hit the repeaters and stuff.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I mean, Rochester, pardon me, first Hollywood, California, then Rochester, New York, all in one show.
Yeah, that was just great.
Doesn't get any better. You know what? I've been blessed. Radio Freak America has been blessed. First with the great hosts, myself, Rax, Condor, Mary Chance, Skyler, and Meme, and then, of course, all the guests, Slip, you, Bios, who else have we had on the show? I mean, we've been so blessed. Wintermute, we're so lucky. The woman from Telco, I don't know if you ever heard that show. If you want to hear some great Telco stories, this woman, you know, did some amazing stuff 30 years ago. Great, great show to listen to.
I think I actually have listened to that one.
Dude, isn't that awesome? It's
those were some wild stories.
Yeah, they're great. You should. Oh man, she had a lot more. I mean, she had a lot of stories. I've talked to her for hours. You know, just and I didn't say a damn word, I bet all you listeners wish would happen. But no, I listened to this woman for hours, just in my mouth open, my eyes wide, like a little kid listening to a story getting read by his dad. So it was it's great listening to her. So. Where the hell was I? Okay, Wintermute came on, did IRLP. Well, I've got some more RF tonight. And again, this isn't an advertisement, but I wanted to pass this on to you listeners who don't go to the Radio Shack as often as I do. It's one of my regular stops, actually. Radio Shack is clearing out shortwave radios, and not just any shortwave. They're clearing out their DX396, and it's actually a digital shortwave radio. Takes 2C batteries. Like I said, it's digital. It does scanning. I don't know if it was programming. I've just got it. I haven't messed with it a lot. It's got a lot, of course, AM, shortwave, and FM. Okay, originally, the radio was $100. It was $99.99, if I'm correct. They are clearing these radios out right now. And this isn't an advertisement. It's just straight-up technology at a good price so you can mess with it and have a lot of fun. They're clearing them out for $39.99. That's right, listeners.
Wow.
40. Yeah, dude, it's a great deal. $40. I couldn't pass it up. It's a great little radio. It's got a telescoping antenna. You know what? I'm going to power it up now. I think the band that's the most fun is the 49 meter band. You get like Chinese, the BBC, and Spanish all in one band here. So I'm going to. This is probably really bad radio, by the way, to listen to a shortwave radio on the radio. Okay. Now, what band? I'm on 25 meter. Let me switch to the 49 meter band. I think it's the most fun. 49. Okay, here we go. Let me turn it up here. I have no idea how this is going to sound.
Well, do you still remember? Not so in Chinese is Bu Tai. That's right. Jin Tian Bu Tai Yu. And next, try to say, how is it compared to yesterday?
Where are you going to hear that? You're not going to hear that on a freaking clear channel radio station.
That's right.
All right, now we're not done yet. Okay, hold on, let me scan. And it's got great. Just hold the scan button, it'll scan. Okay. Man, I know the BBC's on here. Hold on. Bad wave propagation tonight. That's a Spanish station. Okay, that's enough, I think. It's not the...
Yeah, getting a lot of static there.
Yeah, big time. I was getting way better reception last night. So, now why is that? I don't know. But guess what, listeners? You'll get a shortwave radio, and you'll start, hey, well, why am I getting the Chinese station? You know, I'm getting great reception on the Chinese station, you know, at dusk, but the middle of the day, I get crappy reception. And you'll go out and research that. You'll find out, you know, if the weather is bad or if it's different or if there's solar flares and you'll have fun, and guess what? You'll learn without even knowing it. So go pick up one of these radios. You can't get a better radio at a better price. I know it. And Like I said, they're clearing them out. I don't know, the store I went to actually had five left. So I was very lucky. I got a brand new one, never been touched, you know. If you have to get the one that's sitting on the shelf, grab it. It's a great deal. Do you have a shortwave radio?
No, I don't. I'm going to go down and check out Radio Shack now that you're telling me about this one.
Yeah, now let's say I'm very lucky. The city I live in, there's a few stores that are what I like to call electronic surplus stores. And they get just that, electronic surplus, and then it's just a big, you know, warehouse with a bunch of shelves, and it's just all this what some people call junk and what I call heaven, right? A lot of times they've got radios in there. They have, last time I went, they had this giant AM/FM like boombox, but it got all the, you know, got all the TV stations as well, and I think it got CB frequencies on a radio. And I thought, man, that's awesome. And guess what? It was like $10-$12. You know? Yeah, and you're not gonna find that kind of technology at, I don't know, what's a big store? Best Buy, you know? There's no way you're going to get a big radio that gets CB, TV, AM, FM, maybe even shortwave. So check out your town, get in the old phone book, and look under electronics and see if you have a store like that, electronic surplus store, and go down there, and maybe you don't have to drop 40 bones on a really good radio, and you can drop 10 on something that's not as good, you know, analog, no big deal. Check it out. I love RF. Do you have any, FRS radios or CBs, anything like that?
I've got a couple old CBs.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Now, what kind of things do you hear in your town? I mean, you get the truckers rolling through and you pick them up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a couple guys that have base stations in town that they talk all night long.
Oh, that's cool. So you can hop on. Dude, if you ever get a recording of some interesting conversations, man, send it my way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's this one guy in town, and this was a couple of years ago, and we used to cruise around and just mess with the CB, and he was always playing pornos across it and stuff.
Yeah, that's my kind of guy, man. high class stuff. Yeah, if you want to see high class, check out my laptop on the stickers page. You know, the RFA stickers in action. Check out my laptop. That's class right there. That's my kind of stuff. Have you seen that? Oh, never mind. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Hey, Bios, man, I cannot thank you enough for being on the first Raxless show. This is great. You had some great, great stuff that you brought to the table. I'm hoping you'll send me some links so I can get them up on Old School Freak. We'll get a little section for you on the news site and, of course, pimp your site.
That's cool, man. I'll send you those links tonight.
Right on, man. Right on. Again, thanks a lot for being on the show. And all you listeners, mess with RF. Mess with the phones. I know you already messed with computers, and definitely, definitely go to digitalrights.org and be active. Later.
I'm